church. Let's read Luke 11:28 together. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. You may be seated.
You know, Christmas time reminds us that we need deliverance. I mean, that's why Jesus came. Jesus came to deliver us from sin, from the oppression that brings. And we all need it. And many of us in this room have experienced the deliverance of the Lord. And we found freedom that only He can bring. There are many, of course, in this world who have not. So, this morning, I want you to think either from the perspective of someone who needs deliverance. Is that you? I want you to think about that for a moment. This morning, are you in need of deliverance from the oppression, from the bondage that sin can bring? And if you have found that deliverance or walking in that freedom, do you know of others who are in need of that deliverance? And do you pray and ask the Lord to use you as an instrument in His hands to bring about deliverance for others? Today, we're going to continue our study through the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, that great chapter of faith. And we've seen how the author of Hebrews has taken us really through the Old Testament and has shown us different characters and their faith despite their imperfections. And today we get to verse 32 of Hebrews 11, so you can take out the outline that you received when you came in. It'll have all the verses that I'm going to be using this morning. As we look in particular at the life of Gideon and Gideon's faith. Now, what you're going to see is the more we get to know Gideon, yes, you're going to see his faith, but you're also going to see his weaknesses. You're going to see that Gideon was a scared man at times. And I think one of the things that we see from the life of Gideon, which we'll look at in detail from Judges chapter 6 and 7 and 8, and that's what tells the story of Gideon that the author of Hebrews is referring back to. But I think in this story of Gideon, you see the question posed, will you live a life of surrender or will you live a life of being scared and living in fear? And that's really the issue with faith in Hebrews 11. We will either live in faith or in fear. We'll either live surrendered or we'll live scared. And so today I hope you see the solution to that problem and that dilemma, whether you're on the side of someone who needs deliverance today or whether you're the person who wants to be used by God to see others know the deliverance that only Christ can bring. And so you'll see behind me Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 32 says this, "And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon." And so you'll notice that even after this in your own Bible, there are a few other judges that are referred to, but today we're just going to look at Gideon and his life in particular. Now this takes us back to the book of Judges in the Old Testament, one of the first few books. And Judges really can be summarized in chapter 21 of that book in verse 25 where it says this, "In those days," that is during the days of the judges, "there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes." You see, the people were not submitted or surrendered to anyone. No God-sent earthly leader, nor God himself. And when people are not submitted to God, surrendered to God, then they do what is right in their own eyes. And that's happened for all of us in this room, hasn't it? It certainly happened for people around us when we have thought or think that we can live however we want to live and do whatever we want to do. And that's what characterized the time of the judges. And so here's what happened. God would raise up different judges, different people who would lead. And these judges are more military type leaders. And so he raises them up to save his people, to deliver his people. And so one of those judges that we're going to look at today is Gideon, who's known for his faith. A good summary of the book of Judges and what God is doing through these particular people would be Judges chapter 2, verse 16, that says, "Then the Lord raised up judges," that's what he would do, "who saved them out of the hand of those who plundered them." And so in the book of Judges, you see evil people, regimes, groups that would oppress the people militarily and socially. What I want you to do as we read this story today is think not so much about the military oppression that you and I might face, but the spiritual oppression, the spiritual darkness, and the need of spiritual deliverance that we need. Because ultimately, that's what this story is pointing us forward to. Because behind evil military, like, for example, today we're going to look at the Midianites. The Midianites are who oppress Israel during the time of Gideon. Behind the Midianites is, of course, the evil one himself. Now, here's what's interesting when you look at the life of Gideon, which we're about to read from chapter 6, but I want to prepare you for that reading. What you'll notice is that God's people during that time, Israel, yes, they were being oppressed by the Midianites, but God is the one who brought that oppression. You know why? Well, we're about to read it. It's because the people did what was evil. And as a result of their evil, wicked, sinful behavior, doing what was right in their own eyes, God used the Midianites to discipline them. Now, not every instance in our life when we experience difficulties and hardships comes because of our sin. So there are often times in this life where you just experience hard things because we live in a fallen, Genesis 3, difficult world, right? And for example, one book in the Bible that tells the story like that would be Job. Job was not suffering because of decisions and choices that he had made. No, Job was just suffering because of the fallen, sinful world that we live in, and God had a purpose in that. In the story of Gideon, we see that God's people are suffering because of choices and decisions that they've made. And that can happen in our lives too. And so think about your own life for a moment. Have there been times when, because of decisions that you've made, you suffered the consequences of those decisions? Well, yeah, that's true for all of us. But what God desires for us is to get to a place where we're surrendered to Him and we learn to joyfully obey Him and not have to suffer the consequences of our own disobedience and rebellion. Now, in this life, we're going to suffer at times, but what we don't want to do is suffer because of poor, sinful decisions that we've made, right? And so, despite the fact that the Israelites are suffering during the time of Judges for their own decisions, God still graciously and mercifully delivers them. And he raises up judges to do that. And today, you're going to see that he raises up Gideon to do that in particular. And God raises up a savior, Gideon, in response to his people coming to the end of themselves and saying, "Lord, we surrender. Please help us." And so before we even read this story, let me go ahead and encourage you. If you're in a place today of spiritual bondage and oppression, even if it's because of your own choices and sin, the rightful response to that is to say, "Lord, help me. I surrender." And if you do, He will rescue you. And so, that's what you're going to see in these verses that we're going to read. Now, the story of Gideon is found in Judges 6, 7, and 8. We're only going to look at selected parts. So this afternoon, I would encourage you to read Judges 6, 7, and 8 to learn more, but I want to give you an overview of that. And so we'll begin by reading just a few verses from chapter 6. Would you stand with me as we read those verses in particular? Judges chapter 6. We'll start in verse 1. You'll notice I've just put a few verses here, verse 1 through 2, 6 through 12, 14 through 17. I'm encouraging you to go home and finish and read all of the details of it. So I'm going to pray and then read the verses, which I hope I've prepared you for already, and then we'll talk about how those apply to our lives. Let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning, and we recognize that we need you for everything. And so, God, I surrender to you in this moment and pray that you would clothe me and, God, clothe us with your Spirit. Father, I pray for those who are in need of deliverance, who are in this room today, eaten up and controlled and dominated by sin. Lord, move in their hearts where they would cry out for help from you, even in this moment. In fact, if that's you, just in this moment, in your heart, say, Lord, help me. And God, would you save and deliver and free them today? And Lord, for those of us who are by your grace and by your Spirit walking in that deliverance and freedom already, would you give us greater zeal and passion to be used by you so that others would come to know you, that your kingdom would come and your kingdom would be built and your church would grow as a result of using us, oftentimes scared and faithless and imperfect men and women. Would you strengthen us and equip us and do the work in our hearts to make us, like Gideon, instruments in your hands, sometimes even despite us, oh Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Follow along with me. Verse 1 of Judges 6. The people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord gave them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian overpowered Israel. Verse 6. And Israel was brought very low because of Midian. And the people of Israel cried out for help to the Lord. When the people of Israel cried out to the Lord on account of the Midianites, the Lord sent a prophet to the people of Israel. And he said to them, Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I led you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of slavery. And I delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the hand of all who oppressed you and drove them out before you and gave you their land. And I said to you, I am the Lord your God. You shall not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice. Verse 11, now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abizrite, while his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor. Verse 14. God says to Gideon, Go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do not I send you? And he said to him, Please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least of my father's house. And the Lord said to him, But I will be with you, Gideon, and you shall strike the Midianites as one man. And he said to him, If now I have found favor in your eyes, then show me a sign that it is you who speak with me. You can be seated. Did you see it? because of the evil behavior that they were involved in, they found themselves in bondage. And in response to that, they cried out for God to help them. And what did he do? Some people wouldn't even see it as help. He sent a preacher. He sent a prophet. That's not what they thought they needed. The Midianites were oppressing them and pushing them down. We don't need a preacher. We need a soldier. We need somebody to help us. And God says, no, what you really need is a spokesman on my behalf to remind you of what I've done for you. And he's going to remind you that God has loved you, hasn't he? Remember the God who delivered you from sin and oppression in the past in Egypt? Remember the God who was so good to you and abundantly blessed you when he gave you, not because you earned it, but he gave you the land? Don't you remember that? You see, the people of God at this time did not need just someone to free them militarily. Remember why they got in that position? Because of their spiritual decline and evil. What they needed was to be reminded of God's goodness and grace and mercy and delivering power. What they needed was to fix their gaze upon him, to surrender to him, so that they would not get put in a position like this in the future. What they needed was to trust the Lord and to obey him. They needed to surrender and not walk in fear and being scared. And so God sends the prophet, but then, after reminding them of what they really need, he chooses a leader, a military leader. Now, you might think he would have looked to and fro across the earth and found the strongest, most powerful man, like, I don't know, Houston Ratliff of their day. But he went to a man named Gideon. And I don't know if you caught it in the narrative. If you go home this afternoon and read those three chapters, those two chapters, 6, 7, and 8, the three chapters, then you'll see that Gideon was a fearful, scared man. In fact, when we pick up the story, he's threshing wheat. He's using a pitchfork and throwing the wheat in the air to separate the wheat from the chaff, but he's not doing it like the Israelites would have normally done. No, he was in a wine press. He was down in a hole. Why? Well, chapter 6 tells us. Because he was scared of the Midianites. But God still chose to use Gideon, a scared, fearful, timid man. And the same is true today, isn't it? God does not need our muscles and our power and our ability in and of ourselves to do his work. No, God uses the foolish things of this world, the weak things of this world, the things that are not, to nullify the things that are. Why? So that nobody could boast before him. When it came time for the people to be delivered, for the people to be led, God looks for a Gideon. And he meets Gideon where he is, and he takes him to where he needs to be. He says, Gideon, as fearful and timid as Gideon was, notice how God speaks to him. He says, Gideon, you mighty man of valor. That was the furthest thing from the truth. Gideon was not a mighty man of valor when God called him, and that's the issue, isn't it? When God calls you to something, he will enable you to do what he calls you to do. In fact, he may see you where you are, but he sees past where you are to where he can take you and to what he can do through you in his power and his strength when he, in the language of Judges chapter 6, verse 34, it's on your outline, Judges chapter 6, verse 34 says this about Gideon when it came time to do business. It says, the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon. And that's where his power and that's where his strength came from. It was not in and of himself. It was God, the Holy Spirit, who empowered him to bring deliverance to other people. And so it is with you and I. If we would only heed God's call. Heed God's call. If we would heed God's call and listen to his voice and realize that, yes, we may be scared and timid and fearful, we might be like this little cat. Doesn't look too tough to me, does it, you? I used to have a cat that looked like that. I named him Ginger. You know how many times I had to clean up that litter box and poop off the floor as a kid? And throwing up cat balls. I'm not bitter about cats. I'm just being honest with you. This cat isn't strong. But God saw Gideon where he was, but he said, you mighty man of valor, you mighty man of courage, you mighty man of faith. That's why the author of Hebrews picks up Gideon as a man of faith. But you realize it was not his own ability to muster up that faith. It was a gift of God. And God speaks to him where he is, but God sees the lion of the man that he is creating him and changing him and molding him to be by the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't you see that? And the same is true for us, which, by the way, this is a good way to talk to your children, to your grandchildren, to people. To see past where they are and where they might be to where God can take them if they'll live a life of surrender. Surrender to his call. Now, do you want to be used by God so that others find deliverance? Do you desire that? Do you want to see other people come to know God? Or are you content with us four and no more? Shut the door. Do you long to see people worship Christ? Do you want that? Do you want God to receive the glory that only He deserves more than you want anything else for Christmas? Well, if you do, then you might begin to think, well, I want that, but I can't help anybody. I'm scared. I'm weak. What am I going to say? What am I going to do? How am I going to? And God says, wait a second. Surrender to me. Respond to my call and go forth in faith. And realize that I will fight your battles. And I will give you peace. Look with me at Judges chapter 6. It's on your outline and verse 23. Judges chapter 6 and verse 23. The Lord says to Gideon. Verse 23. But the Lord said to him, peace be to you. Do not fear. You shall not die. Then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord, and he called it, the Lord is peace. You realize that, right? The Lord is peace. And he gives peace to those who are surrendered to him, who rest in him. Now, Gideon has all kinds of fears. He wants all kinds of signs. Lord, show me that you're going to be with me. How will I know? Help me. And God graciously does that. Now, when it comes time for Gideon to free the Israelites from the oppression of the Midianites, God doesn't start with the Midianites. In fact, go home and read chapter 6. He tells Gideon to first go to his father's house, his own dad, and to go into his house and to tear down the altars to Baal. the false god and the Asherah poles to cut them down. So for Gideon to bring deliverance to the people of God, he would have to start in his own household, which, by the way, is the best place to start. So let me ask you for a moment, would you think about this with me? In your house, either your residence or your family, do you see altars to Baal, to false gods, to Asherah? Do you see people who don't know and love and worship and are not walking with the one true God? And who are engulfed with either the oppression of the world, the oppression of Satan, the oppression of sin and darkness, the oppression of idolatry? Do you see that? And do you think God might be able to use you and I, cat-like, feline-like men and women, by the power of His Spirit to do what we could never do on our own? God tells Gideon, listen, don't be afraid. Go to your house first and tear down the idols. And so Gideon boldly and courageously does that. And it almost cost him his life. The people wanted to kill him after that. You can go home and read it. But God tells him, you're not going to die. Don't be afraid. And so Gideon builds an altar to the Lord because He is the one that Gideon worships. Now fast forward to chapter 7 of the book of Judges, telling the faith and story of Gideon. Now it's battle time. You ready? You guys have been waiting for this, especially y'all that are like so eager to go see Star Wars, or you're going this afternoon or whatever. Like you like the war scenes and all of that, especially when it's not real. But this one's real. It's battle time in chapter 7. Beyond his own household to the front lines where the Midianites are strong. In fact, there's 135,000 of them. And to start with, Gideon only has 32,000 men. 32,000 versus 135,000. It doesn't look too promising even to begin with. But notice what God does. 32,000 versus 132,000. Let's try to make it comparable. NFL New England Patriots versus the junior varsity of Rainbow City. Who's going to win? Yeah. On paper and humanly speaking, this is way bigger than Joshua and Jericho that we saw 2 weeks ago. But notice what happens. Chapter 7, verse 1. Then Jerubbaal, which was a name that Gideon was given eventually. And so when you read the narratives this afternoon, realize that. Then Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all the people who were with him rose early and encamped. Verse 2. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hand. Lest Israel boast over me, saying, my own hand has saved me. Sound like a good strategy to you guys? 32,000 versus 135,000. God says, that's still too many, because if you won, you might think that you did it in your own strength and power. So let's get the numbers down a little bit more. And a lot of us, naturally, when the numbers go down, we get discouraged, right? But notice what happens. Verse 3. Now, therefore, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and trembling, let him return home and hurry away from Mount Gilead. And then 22,000 of the 32,000 of the people returned, and 10,000 remained. Now, pause for a moment. I mean, maybe we felt pretty strong with 32,000 with 135,000 Midianites against us. Maybe we still felt good because we had some tough people with us. We had some strong, we're like reputable people. But now everybody's looking around and they're like, there were 32,000 of us, and now more than half of them are gone. You know why? They were afraid. What were they afraid of? The real enemy. Who's the real enemy? The real enemy, of course, behind the Midianites, is Satan. The real victory is to help other people be freed from their oppression. And God doesn't bring freedom from oppression by massive numbers unless he chooses to. God doesn't care how many people there are, as though he needs 32,000 to do what he wants to do. It just depends on what you want to do, right? What do you want to do? Do you want to know deliverance from oppression to sin? And do you long for others to find deliverance from oppression to sin? Well, God gives them a strategy to defeat the Midianites. And he says, everybody who's scared, go ahead and go home now. And 22,000 leave. So now they've got 10,000. But maybe they're still looking around like, at least we got 10,000. I mean, that's a lot of guys. And I mean, Doug's pretty strong. I don't know. Like, Rebecca, she's been bench pressing. She probably hasn't. But you know what I'm saying. They're just looking around. They're like, we still got 10,000? Okay, we still got 10,000. Now, I didn't put it up there, but this is your homework, right? You have to go home and read the rest of the story. But then God gives them like this great military strategy that the Britons and the Americans and the Hmongs and all the great military people of the past, they've all used this strategy. He says, okay, here's what I want you to do. God says he wants them to go to the water and for them to drink. And God says, all right, the ones who drink and take water in their hands and lap it up like a dog, I want you to keep them to fight. But the ones who hit their knees and just drink out of the water, I want you to send them home as well. And so Gideon's probably thinking, all right, I'm already scared, I'm already afraid. There's 10,000 of us, there's 132,000. All right, God, right? Because you'll either live surrendered or you'll live scared. When the numbers drop, what causes you to be afraid? What are you afraid of? What are you scared of? I mean, think about it with me. When your earthly strength apparently fails, what is it that you're scared of? Do you remember what brought Gideon victory? It was one thing. It was not the amount of people that were next to him. It was the God who was with him. Did you catch it? I will be with you, Gideon. It doesn't matter if there's 32,000 or 10,000. Or by the way, after all of this drinking thing, 300. 300. Against 135,000. It went from New England Patriots NFL team to the Rainbow City Fighting Warrior, whatever they are, Panthers, to the 60-pound, even when they're wet, Pop Warner, go get 'ems, who lost every game this season in the Little League Football League. 300 versus 135,000. Now, to top it all off, I mean, God gives them another great military strategy that I'm sure, like, General Colin Powell would have used this in different strategies. He says, here's what I want you to take three things. I want you to take a jar, he tells them. You're going to have to go back and read it and be sure I'm telling the truth. He says, take you a jar, take you a torch, and take you a trumpet, a horn. So make sure you got the band, and I don't know, somebody who jars, vegetables, and a torch. And I want all 300 of those to have those three things. And here's what you're going to do. You're going to go, and I'm going to give you victory over the people. And again, go read it. Gideon gets scared, and he says, How will I know that you're going to do this? And that's where we get the whole story of the fleece. You remember Gideon and the fleece? You learned that one back in Sunday school, did you? Remember Gideon and the fleece? And we kind of used that story to how you're going to decide God's will. It was not. God already had told Gideon what his will was. God said, my will is for you to lead the people in victory over the Midianites. He's not trying to discern God's will. He's scared. And so he says, all right, this is how I'll know you're with me. If I put out the fleece overnight and I wake up in the morning and the fleece is wet but the ground is dry, then I'll know, God, that you're with me. All right. And God graciously, mercifully does it. And he takes it up the next day and he wrings it out and it's wet and the ground is dry. And you would think that'd be like, Gideon, yes, you can do it. No. Remember what Gideon said? He said, all right, now, I just want to be sure, okay? Notice how timid, how fearful, how scared. I just want to be sure. And so this time, God, I'm going to put the fleece out and make it to where the fleece is dry, but the ground is wet. Could you do that one? And God does that, and he picks up the fleece, and it's dry, and the ground is wet. Do you see, Gideon? Now, Hebrews 11 tells us that Gideon was a great man of faith, right? But the book of Hebrews in chapter 11 is a highlight reel. You know what a highlight reel is, right? Like ESPN top 10 showing the best plays of the week. It's the YouTube video with all of the highlights of that player in his long runs. It doesn't show him getting flattened, right? It doesn't show the great receiver dropping the ball. But here's the thing. Hebrews 11 highlights the faith of Gideon. And it says legitimately that he was a man of faith. But just because you're a man of faith or a woman of faith doesn't mean that when the highlight reel's not playing, there aren't times when you drop the ball. Part of being a man or a woman of faith or a child of faith is when you drop the ball, you pick it back up and you keep playing. It's when you see your opponent and you feel scared, but you don't live and operate and make decisions out of your fear. You live and operate and make decisions out of the God that you put your trust in. And so you will feel scared sometimes and you will feel afraid, but you can't live based on your feelings, not when you live by faith. You move forward in obedience to God's call, trusting in his spirit, knowing, if you're doing his will, that he's with you. And in that case, it doesn't matter how many people are around. And there were 300. And it comes time for the war, and God gives them victory, and the Midianites turn against themselves, and they fight themselves, and they scatter, and they're chased. And guess what? God brings deliverance through an imperfect judge named Gideon. That's it. Gideon, who walked by faith and not by sight, and he was used by God. Now, I'm almost done. You are in this room today, and you yourself are personally in need of deliverance from oppression of some type. What is it that you need to cry out to God for help for and to trust him and to begin to obey him in that particular area? In addition to that, how are you going to be used by God based on his calling for you to make disciples of all nations, for you, Christian, to share the gospel and to help other people to grow, help people to come to know God and to grow in God? How are you going to be used that way? Don't look in the mirror. Look to the Messiah. and ask him to help you and to empower you, to clothe you by his Spirit to be an instrument in his hands, a modern-day judge, so to speak. Now, fast forward. You would think that the Gideon story ends happy. It doesn't. In fact, not many of the Old Testament stories end happy. Even the best of men and women fall short, don't they? Fast forward with me to chapter 8. It's on your outline. Chapter 8 of the Gideon story. Verse 22 through 24. Listen to what happens. As soon as Gideon died, the people of Israel turned again and whored after the Baals and made Baal-Beroth their god. And the people of Israel did not remember the Lord their God, who had delivered them from the hand of all of their enemies on every side. And they did not show steadfast love to the family of Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, in return for all the good that he had done to Israel. Gideon gave his life, he gave his heart, despite his fear, despite his timidity, despite the numbers, despite all of that, Gideon gave his best. Gideon himself gets to the end of his life, you can read the chapter, and he makes a blunder. And he makes an ephod, and the people turn away, and it affects him and his family. And Gideon dies, and the people turn back. They turn away from the Lord, and they even turned away from Gideon. That is his legacy, I guess you might say. And that's the story of Judges over and over and over again. If you've read the whole book, it's 21 chapters. That's what it is, over and over and over again. God raises up a deliverer. The people turn away. That deliverer dies. They turn back. Sounds like another story. How about ours? You know why? Because the book of Judges is not ultimately about Gideon. And it's not ultimately about you and I. It's ultimately about Christmas. It's ultimately about Jesus, the greater judge, who alone can deliver us from more than just the Midianites. Jesus, the King, alone can deliver us from sin, Satan, hell, death, and the grave. And Jesus alone, after his ascension, can send the Holy Spirit in such a way where it not only clothes his people, but where God the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of his people to enable and empower them to do what they could never do on their own, even in moments. But we can learn to daily walk in the Spirit, daily walk in the Spirit, daily walk in faith in a way that Gideon, under the old covenant, couldn't. Yes, it's true that God loves the Midianites and the Israelites and the Americans and the Africans and the Mexicans and the Chinese and everybody else that I can't think of in a moment. And that's why he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe, trust in him as their deliverer, would not perish, but have everlasting life. Would you pray with me? Father, I pray for those in this room who do not yet know you as their deliverer, and I pray that they would trust in you today, that they would call out to you, that they would call upon your name, Jesus, and be saved, that they would ask for help and salvation and freedom from oppression. If they would ask, oh God, for your Holy Spirit to come live inside of them, and that they would come to know you as Father. God, I pray for those in this room who already know you. Lord, that you would give us greater courage and boldness to be used by you to build your church. to be used by you to see people who don't know you come to know you, to be used by you to see people who do know you grow in their relationship with you. Lord, help us to see what matters most and not get distracted in Midian. God, keep us from being Canaanized like the Israelites during the time of Judges. Forgive us for oftentimes allowing the American culture to lead and guide us instead of you. God, I pray that as we sing this next song and as we celebrate communion, that you would show us any areas in our life that have gotten out of balance and out of whack from your true calling and your true mission and your desire for us here. Lord, help us deliver, free, strengthen, and bless, I pray. Would you stand with me and sing?